Hello and welcome to the Thursday, September 10th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Brad today took a stroll through his spam inbox and looked at some of the waves of malicious spam that he received. He saw a ton of updater spam. Kind of surprising to me that, well, apparently it's getting stuck in simple spam filters, but the bad guys still send it out, so I guess there are still people that actually fall for this. Overall, the subject lines have become somewhat predictable in so far. It shouldn't really be that hard to filter out this kind of malicious spam. And Bluecode has a follow-up to its most shady top-level domain list, and they're focusing a little bit on the .sip top-level domain. That domain is actually owned by Google, and currently there are no real domains under this top-level domain. The only one that Bluecode lists is nick.sip, which essentially leads you to a pre-registration page for various top-level domains that Google owns. Now, the interesting part, however, is because .sip now is a legitimate top-level domain, browsers do consider now the extension .sip sometimes as a part of a host name. So now they're trying to do DNS lookups for essentially what is a file name. And with that, the browser then tries to reach out to those domains, which, well, don't resolve because they don't exist. Interesting little side effect of these odd top-level domains. On the plus side, from a defensive point of view, I think if you do see these .sip top-level domains in your DNS query logs, it may give you a hint as to what files people were trying to open. Like a lot of email software, in particular browsers, not so much email software, will prefetch the URL if you hover over it with the mouse. So as a result, you may see these lookups even if the user never intended to go to that particular domain name. And a police officer in Iowa apparently built a little device that will look for stolen devices based on Wi-Fi traffic being intercepted. Now, this device has a preset list of MAC addresses of stolen devices, so it will not retain data from devices not on that list. There is, of course, a little problem with newer Apple devices that will not use their real MAC address. Instead, they will use a random MAC address for probe requests as they're looking for access points, and that's probably what he's looking for. On the other hand, there is no chance that these devices will impersonate one of the stolen devices. The MAC addresses being created by these features have the locally administered bit set, which should never be set in a valid hardware MAC address. So due to this feature in iOS, you may miss some stolen iOS devices, but it should not happen that an iOS device randomly happens to assume a MAC address of a stolen device. According to the report, this device or this technology is not supposed to be used to find random stolen cell phones and the like, but more to look for stolen cell phones that are known to be associated with larger cases. Of course, software like Kismet and such has done things like this for years, but the neat thing here is that this device packages the software in a way that makes it very applicable to law enforcement. And last week we talked about vulnerabilities being discovered in FireEye products. FireEye now released a patch for its HX product, so you probably should apply this patch rather quickly because at least part of the exploit is already known publicly. And for the Android users out there, an exploit for the Stagefright vulnerability has been made public, as it says, for testing purposes. So yet more reason to update quickly for this particular vulnerability if you have a patch available for your device. And that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and thanks again to ThreatStop.com for supporting this podcast. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.